Good morning. Thank you for being in attendance today on this Thanksgiving weekend. We also want to welcome all those who are tuning in online. Thank you for joining us. We trust that everyone has a great Thanksgiving holiday, whether you are with family or friends or even by yourselves, that this will be an opportunity for all of us to reminisce a little bit how good God has been to each one of his children. One of our traditions here at Meadowlands is on this Sunday before Thanksgiving to have communion, and I hope that you were able to pick up your the elements that we use for communion, the bread and the juice, as you came in. If you didn't, you're welcome to do that even during our time of announcements here or during our first few songs. And then you can get that and be ready for when we take communion later in the in our service. We began a number of years ago to use this opportunity to have God's people give extra to different needs that our ministry has. The last few years we've been giving to our mortgage reduction, and we praise the Lord that we were able to pay that off this year, right as we were in the process of buying land to the south of our building. And we begin making payments on that sometime in December. And so we are going to designate some of our giving for our Thanksgiving offering to debt reduction, as we have in the last number of years. We've also taken some of that money and given it to a special need that maybe we've heard of, a ministry in need throughout the world or even here in Canada. And we've been made aware recently of some physical needs of some of our missionaries. And you probably read that if you get our newsletter. If you don't, you're welcome to go to our website and just sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Friday each week. And in that newsletter this week, you were made aware of two of our missionaries, the Hua family, missionaries to the Dominican Republic, and then... the Nolan family, who serve the Lord in the Northwest Territories. And both of them have some pretty significant health issues that have come up recently, and it's our opportunity to be a blessing to them during this time of need. So if you give to either one of those projects, the debt reduction or missionaries, we would ask that you designate that online as you give, or if you want to fill out, put some money in one of our offering envelopes, you can fill that out and put it in the box that's right outside the church office. And we hope that we can give generously as we help bear these burdens of these missionaries. Another tradition we have as a church family is to use this Thanksgiving Sunday to praise God, especially for the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ. Often we have included scripture reading involving one of the accounts in the Gospels of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But today's readings will come from the first three chapters of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. And he mentions in those verses that he writes, those first three chapters, he mentions often about the exceeding riches of God's grace, and we're thankful for that as believers, what Christ has done for each one of us. He also mentions the church in a couple sections, a couple verses in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, and so we're going to begin our service singing about the church. The song that we're going to start with is a song we learned a few years ago, I Love the Church, the Flock Bought with Christ's Blood. There are six stanzas, and we have sung the chorus after stanzas 2, 4, and 6, and that's what we'll do today, and you'll see those words on the screen in that order. Let's stand together and sing, I Love the Church, followed by The Church's One Foundation. Together.
I love the church, the flock bought with Christ's blood. Sheep gone astray, we found and brought to we follow Christ, secure and satisfied. I love the church, the bride whom Christ pursued, poor and unchanged, yet chosen, loved, and good. Our groom and head in love laid down his life to sanctify the church, his cherished wife. May Christ be praised, preeminent adored. I love the church because I love her Lord. I love the church, my family o'er the earth. Sinners estranged, made one through second birth. In selfless love, Christ claimed us as his own. And that same love from each to each is shown. I love the church. I love the church because I love her Lord. I love the church, the temple God indwells. Built by our Lord, we triumph over hell. Founded on truth, apostles, doctrine sure, we build on Christ, our cornerstone secure. I love the church, the pillar of God's word. We will exalt the truth till all have heard. We will uphold is one foundation, is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by Spirit and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one more she presses with every grace. salt of her war. She wakes a consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Remain standing for prayer.
Psalms 105, the psalmist exclaimed, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing songs to him, talk of all his wondrous works." Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we begin this morning as a time of thanksgiving. Yes, we are thankful for another year. We are grateful for your care and provision through a turbulent time. Thank you for providing for our physical needs and preserving our bodies. We also pause to be reminded of what we are truly thankful for: salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal security for our souls is provided through the completed work of Christ on the cross. We pause, we reflect, and say thank you. Thank you for making salvation possible. Left to ourselves, we could never obtain your righteous standards. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, yet we did not even desire to know the Lord. But thanks be to the Lord for opening up our eyes to see our sin and our need for a Savior. You made it possible for us to respond, bringing us who called on your name from death to life. Continue your work of sanctification in your people's hearts to build them into a spiritual house, your bride and church. Work inside our lives, producing Christ-likeness and good works that glorify our Heavenly Father. We also ask for your help in reaching the world around us. Please help us to share the gospel with our friends, our co-workers, and our family members who do not know you. We are surrounded by a lost who are separated from you. And we ask that their veiled and blinded eyes to the good news be removed. And Father, please begin drawing them to your Son. We also ask the Holy Spirit, please begin to convict their hearts of unrighteousness. May they see that only in Christ can they be saved. Orientate our eyes back onto you and not onto our circumstances that surround us. You are our hope. Help us to talk about your wondrous works with the next generation, to share what you have done. You have placed us in families, in the church families, to share the incredible stories and to read the accounts found in your word so that the next generation may put their faith in you and the children yet to be born could also one day respond in faith. We thank you again for all that you have done and continue to do. We await your return. Help us, preserve us, and may we be bold in sharing the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning again, and happy Thanksgiving Day. I'll be reading and using the New King James Version, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Well, as Jeffrey read, we are accepted in the Beloved, not in what I own or in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. This morning, we're going to learn this song, My Worth is Not in What I Own. I hope that this will be a blessing. We'll ask you to listen and learn through stanzas 1 and 2 and the first chorus. And then I'll ask you to join on stanzas 3, 4, one more chorus, and then stanza 5, as we learn this song together. My worth is not in what I own.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no longer, my soul is
and singing stanza 3.
As summer flowers we fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty hurry by, but life eternal calls to us at the cross. Christ at the cross.
Is there salvation in any other? For there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Oh,
What a blessing to sing Christ's power to save now, even as we eagerly await the time that we will do that in his presence and for all eternity. What a blessing to come together. In a few minutes, we will be taking the Lord's Supper together. If you haven't gotten the elements, they are in the lobby. You can get that before we do that in just a little bit. But let's pause to have a prayer of confession. Father, we recognize from your word that the truth is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we're thankful that we do not get what we deserve. But as your people who are trusting in Christ as our Savior, we have received mercy. We're thankful that you have given us what we don't deserve. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have much for which to be thankful. We're thankful, as we just sang, that as the sinner plunges beneath the blood of Christ, they lose all their guilty stains. That's a miracle and a gift that only you have done through your Son. And so we trust in him. We're thankful that we have been justified by faith. And we're thankful for the ongoing fellowship that we have with you. So we do pause even during this time to recognize that sin so often gets into our lives and interrupts that fellowship. And so we thank you for the ongoing forgiveness that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Father, we do pray that you would wash us, that you would restore the joy of your salvation as we are right with you, and that we would go on to live for you, that we too would forgive others even as you in Christ have forgiven us. And so we pray that you would be pleased by the words of praise that we offer as we thank you for all that you have done for us. And yet we also pray that you would be pleased by hearts that are in tune with gratitude and lives that demonstrate that thanksgiving through the way that we obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, and with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not that of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Well, another new song that we are going to learn today is based on the truths that Robert just read from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. This is the song, God of Grace. We'll sing the first stanza, and then we'll ask you to join us on stanza 2 and 3.
God of grace, amazing wonder, irresistible and free. Oh, the miracle of mercy, Jesus reaches down to me. God of grace, I stand in wonder, as my God restores my soul. His own blood on your grace. Keep my heart
Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being himself the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Ephesians 3, 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mysteries, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge and mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to sons of men, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit of his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, I am less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given, and I should preach among the Gentiles and the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of my mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers of the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory.
Before we take the Lord's Supper together, let's sing two songs. The first one about God's amazing love, "How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" And then we'll sing the communion hymn, and we'll stand together as we sing.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be?
His Father's throne above, so free, so infinite, His grace emptied Himself to show His love and bled for Adam's helpless race. Stain of sin shed for you.
drink and remember. He drank death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of grace around the table of the King. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again and will join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King.
Thank you. Be seated.
Well, we come to the Lord's Supper, which is such an important time for the church family to partake together of. The Lord's Supper is really going back almost 2,000 years ago to a real supper that our Lord had with his disciples. And they were celebrating the Passover, which was a commemoration and thanksgiving of God's rescue of his people, the people of Israel. As slaves in Egypt, they were delivered out and brought into eventually the promised land. And so from that time on, each year, God's people would kill the lamb, the Passover lamb, commemorating their salvation and deliverance that God had brought to them. But as Jesus was with his disciples, as they shared that meal together, he gave new meaning to that traditional meal, telling them that the bread represents his body, which is broken. The cup represents his blood that is shed. And Jesus would that next day give up his body and his blood as a sacrificial lamb, the ultimate Passover lamb. As John the Baptist had said earlier, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we celebrate the Lord's Supper because the Lord has instituted this to be a time of remembrance for his people. We also sometimes refer to this as communion, the hymn we just sang, the communion hymn. And that's fitting because communion, the communication that we have between God and men is only made possible by the sacrifice of Christ. God communicated his love by sending his Son, Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because of God communicating his love for us, the cross also makes it possible for us to commune with God. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we remember what Christ has done and have communion with the Lord. There's also another word that we don't use as much referring to this supper, but has been traditionally used over the last 2,000 years. It's actually a Greek word that is found in the New Testament, Eucharist. And that Greek word simply means giving thanks, thanksgiving. We'll read it in the chapter the passage I'm going to read in just a moment. And that is certainly appropriate to refer to thanksgiving. because we of all people have the most to be thankful for. We recognize who the giver is. And really everything that we have has been trusted to us by the ultimate giver. And because of the gospel, we are able to enjoy these good gifts, not just temporarily, but we have the eternal gifts that we get to enjoy because of the promises that God has made to us, but only because of the death and resurrection. And so as we partake of this supper together, this communion with God, we give thanks. It's sober reminder, and yet it's reminder of great joy. As we realize the free gift of salvation had great cost to our Savior. And so I'd ask you to prepare yourself with the bread. As I'll read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, the word Eucharist, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length, and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, we're going to close our service singing together, "What Love Could Remember, No Wrongs We Have Done. Our sins, they were many, but his mercy is more." Will you please stand together and sing with us?
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a good day.